speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Today I want to read to you from the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning verse 1, where it said, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius, and when he looked on him, he was afraid. And he said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa." Here we learn, then, the Bible reveals to us one who was an army officer who became a child of God. And such an important account is given to us. The Bible, you know, is a marvelous book. It is so because of its salvation theme, and because its author, because its amazing relevance to our day is certainly always fresh, and a lot of other reasons also, one of which is its remarkable organization. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are the narratives of the life of our Lord while he was upon the earth, with what Christians call the Great Commission, who gave us the marching orders to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and knowing that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This began, of course, at Jerusalem in Acts 2, when the church of our Lord was established. And immediately following the four accounts of the gospel is the book of Acts, with an account of what happened when they began to go out and carry out this great commission. It reveals their great success stories, doesn't it? And certainly the accounts of their persecutions, even their failures, and all the rest. And therefore, it's very interesting, exciting, fast-moving, and it is a rehearsal of the very early Christianity. Every chapter, well, every verse, I suppose, is packed with useful information for the church of our Lord today. And I'm afraid it's being neglected in some churches and some pulpits, and oh, what a loss they suffer. The chapter that we're looking at today is important because it tells of the first Gentile person to become a Christian. Yes, the Lord had told the apostles to go into all nations, to every creature, but until this event, they had gone only to the Jews. And it is near impossible for us to realize the strong prejudice that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles in those days. But the man Cornelius, he was an officer over 100 hardened pagan soldiers in what is called the Italian band. But he himself was an unusually good man. Notice, if you will, the scripture said of him, as we read a moment ago, that he was a devout man. Second of all, he feared or reverenced God. Third of all, he did that with all of his house, meaning that he brought his family up in the reverence of God also. And then fourth of all, he gave much alms to the people. And fifth, he was a prayerful man. He prayed to God, the Bible says, always. But he was not saved. According to Acts 10:6, he needed to hear words whereby he could be saved. And also Acts 11:14. Well, perhaps you're thinking, with a lot of others, that if any kind of person isn't saved, it wouldn't be this man. Because this man is a good man, and yet we know that this man had not done what it takes to be saved. My friend Cornelius was an excellent example of what Paul was saying in Ephesians 2:8, when he said, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he afore prepared that we should walk in them." Now, a person cannot be good enough of himself to be saved. He can't do enough good deeds to remove a single sin. But God is in Christ reconciling man unto himself, according to 2 Corinthians 5:19, and he does this by coming in contact with the blood of Christ at baptism. Although Cornelius had probably heard of him, he had not believed in him and obeyed him. He can be a valuable lesson to people who think that they can be good enough to be saved, can he? No, he doesn't discourage being good. He encourages people to come to Christ for salvation. Well, Cornelius was praying one morning at 9 o'clock when an angel appeared to him and told him to send men to Joppa and bring back Simon, who would tell him words whereby he and his house should be saved, Acts 11:15. He promptly obeyed that command, and the biblical account then turns to Peter in verse 9. It says, the next day about noon, when men of Cornelius had, that they had sent, approached that city, Peter was up on the housetop praying. He had fallen into a trance, and he saw the sky open up, and he saw an object like a great sheet come down, lowered by the four corners to the ground. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures and birds. And a voice said unto him, Arise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said unto him, Not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean has ever entered into my mouth. Well, the thing happened again and again the third time. And Peter was very perplexed about the meaning of all of this when the men sent by Cornelius arrived and they were inquiring for him. The Spirit told him to go downstairs and go with these men without any misgivings whatsoever. Well, he did so. And when they arrived at Caesarea, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But you know, Peter refused to be worshipped. He raised him up, saying, Stand up. I too am just a man. Cornelius had gathered his kinsmen and his friends together, many of them, the Scripture says. And Peter said to them, Please, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And therefore I came unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore what intent ye have sent for me. Well, Cornelius told him about his having seen the angel and had sent for him to hear from him those words by which he and his house should be saved. With that, Peter began to speak in Acts 10:34-35, and he said, Now I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. And with that he began to tell them about Jesus Christ, and how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses, he said, of all these things he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. He told them about our Lord's crucifixion, about his burial, about his resurrection the third day, and that those chosen of God, meaning the apostles, were witnesses of these facts. Well, while Peter was still speaking these words, Peter said, As I began to speak, Acts 11:15, the Holy Spirit fell on them who were listening to this message, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So we know that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God, Acts 10:46-48. What an amazing account. There are three miracles in it. First of all, there was the appearance of the angel to Cornelius, instructing him to send men to Joppa for Peter, who would tell him words whereby he and his family could be saved. There are many lessons, of course, that can be drawn from it. And one is that people are not saved by a miracle. Cornelius was not saved by that miracle. He and his household were saved by the words which Peter spoke to him. You remember Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. Now, no one has ever been known to become a Christian without having heard the message. Peter preached to the house of Cornelius about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, and those are the facts of the gospel. Well, another lesson to be turned from this biblical event is that the angel did not tell Cornelius the words whereby he could be saved. Have you ever heard anyone testify that they saw an angel and that they were saved by that experience? Well, I have, but it can't be verified by the Scriptures. The angel only told Cornelius to send for Peter, who would tell him words whereby he and his household could be saved. Now, God has put this saving treasure, the gospel, in earthen vessels, meaning in men, 2 Corinthians 4:7. The obvious purpose of this miracle was to persuade Cornelius to send for Peter, who would tell him words whereby he and his family could be saved. Well, the second miracle was Peter's vision, wasn't it, of the sheet let down from heaven by the four corners, in which God said, What I have cleansed, don't you count common or unclean. And the message applied, of course, to the esteem, or probably the lack of it, for the Gentiles. And the purpose of this miracle was to convince Peter that he was to go to the Gentile and to preach Christ unto him. His hesitancy to do so was so strong it could only be overcome by a miracle. So knowing his own brothers in the church would likely charge him with having done wrongly, he took six others with him as witnesses, according to Acts 11 and verse 12. So Peter went, he preached Christ to the Gentiles. Now the third miracle was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Cornelius and others who heard the word, verifying that they were those whom God wanted to be saved. That was not only for the Jew then, but also for the Gentile. So if you see these things and understand them, be sure and not miss the fact that these are words whereby they could be saved. He said, "Can any man forbid water now that these who have received the Spirit as well as we should not be baptized?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the water for the remission of their sins. Well, men have to do the same thing today. You and I must obey the gospel just like Cornelius did. We cannot be good enough to be saved by our own merit. Been a pleasure for us to discuss these things with you today. Hopefully these have been helpful to you. If we can assist you in obeying the gospel, please call on us.